Ticket Volume is proud to bring you a retired coach, blogger and speaker, writer and contributor to several publications and organizations, board member at ITSMF UK with a long experience as a CIO, director, IT service and support manager for several financial institutions. Welcome to Ticket Volume, news and information for improving IT experiences. I'm your host, Matt Barron, and this podcast is powered by Invigate, a global leader in IT service and asset management software. As you know, every week I chat with different IT leaders to share insights on service management, technology, and business, and this episode is no exception. But before we start, don't forget to subscribe, like, and comment. Now, let's begin. Welcome to Ticket Volume, Daniel Breston.
Hello, Mr. Barron. How are you, sir?
Hello, Daniel. Welcome. Thanks for taking some time to be here. I really appreciate all the time that so many people have given to this podcast, and you're no exception as well.
Oh, thank you, and also thank you, McGate.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So what I want to do is I want just a little bit of insight into your recent retirement, because I love the way that you describe it on LinkedIn, this knowledge worker retirement that you're currently experiencing.
Well, you've heard of the great retirement. Probably not. You've heard of the great redundancy, maybe. And you've heard of the great resignation, most likely.
Definitely.
Well, before the great resignation, there was the great redundancy. We didn't ask to resign because I was thrown into the great resignation bucket. And I went, hold on, guys. I didn't go, hello, I'd like to resign, please. Mm-hmm. I'm wealthier than I know what to do with, and I don't need any money to help me pay my bills.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I'd like to resign, please. So, you know, I was given an opportunity by a very good organization who made the redundancy with respect. So I had to be fair to them. It wasn't just a, you know, hello, Mr. Breston, piss off. Mm-hmm. It was a, this is what we're going to do for you. This is what you can and can't do. This is what you've created with us while you've been working for us. And it's all yours. Use it. Whatever it is, use it. Just take our name off of it. It's all yours. So it was all done with great respect. But at the end of the day, you're done. And now your choices are, because when the world went digital, aka onto the internet, everybody was becoming a consultant. Mm-hmm, and I just went, you know what? I'm 66 years old. I'm going to be 67 soon. Yeah, I've done now. So I said I was going to retire. And everybody said, so you're stopping. And I said, no, the word retire means you've decided to stop doing what you were doing. But that doesn't mean that you've stopped. You haven't died. No one's burying you. You're still alive. You're still able to contribute. And I have 52 years of IT experience. I'm going to continue to speak. I'm going to continue to share that, aka I became a board member of the ITSMF UK. I walk into the boardroom and they all say, hi, Granddad. So there's still opportunity for me to speak at things and do things and blog things. And I went, that's what I'm going to do now. If somebody wants me to work, I'm now going to work on my terms.
Yes.
So, no, I'm not going to work Monday through, you know, I know that you think that this contract says Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. But what you really are saying are it's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And then after 5, you continue creating the documents that you need to. So you're up until 10, right? You've done this.
Yes.
I've retired from that.
Working on your own terms.
Right? I'm going to work when I want to work.
Yes.
So, you know, my wife understands. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to do an hour or so of something. And then if I want to go walk along the beach, I'm going to go walk along the beach.
Awesome. Yeah, that's the dream, Daniel. 52 years. Thank you so much. That is amazing. What a wealth of knowledge. Thank you for sharing that as much as possible.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about what those consultants provide, that best practice guidance that people provide.
If you use best practice again, I will fly over and knock you on the head.
That was intentional. I'm trying to get you to talk about best practices. So what do you think about best practices, Daniel?
Well, let's see. I think it's the dumbest phrase ever. Because if it's best, let's stop.
Yeah.
We're done now. We can't get better. So you have the best practice in ITSM. You have the best practice in Agile. Pick any of the 42 flavors. You have the best practice in DevOps. You have the best practice in, you know, what Paul Wilkinson calls the next shiny thing.
Yeah.
Where does it stop? Okay. Mm-hmm. There are good practices. There are bad practices. They're best when you can adopt them and adapt them in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not possible for you to adopt and adapt them into their organization, no matter what the sales rep says, it's not best.
Right, because it's not going to work.
That's right. It's not going to work. Same for tools, same for, you know, all the other stuff. So we as an industry need to stop saying the word best. The other thing is, and this, you know, Rob England goes on this a whole lot, is this is a very volatile and changing world.
Yeah.
Everybody in your audience, raise your hands if you had a plan as part of your five-year plan to deal with a worldwide pandemic that is going to force you to leave your office for 18 months to 2 years, have everyone go onto the internet and continue to service your customers in such a way that, and this is the change, right? So now you've done the digital bit. That was easy. That was boring. That didn't take long, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Okay. Now you've changed the way that your organization works. Because before, customers maybe gave you a little bit of time. Now, they're at home just like you're at home. And the only thing keeping them with you is the way that you deal with them.
Exactly.
Right? So if your best doesn't keep them there, then let's see, new tab, pick your favorite search engine, find me another pizza parlor.
Yeah.
Hey, they do what I've got a new pizza parlor. You're forgotten. Four clicks, five clicks, you're forgotten. Okay?
Yeah.
So that transformation, that's my second favorite not word. If you didn't change the way that you were doing stuff to take advantage of the technology that you now have in abundance, I think the best phrase I heard during COVID was the CIO now owns the water cooler.
Yeah, that is a great way of putting it.
Everything that you didn't want to give me before, folks, haha, guess what? I have the key to the kingdom.
That's interesting. I never really thought about that fact that the CIO's power did get that much greater, and the responsibility to join up with HR and understand what that power is that really is. Greg Sanker said it on his episode, you know, that's really where we need to partner.
That's right. The organization now has the opportunity to appreciate the chief information officer, the head individual that can provide you with the data that allows your other officers to work effectively and efficiently, and their staff to work effectively and efficiently, and partner with individuals that work effectively and efficiently to help you, help your staff do things that help customers. If you did all of that, I won't stop you from saying digital transformation on your website. If you didn't do all of that, I'm coming at you.
I love it. That's perfect. I also really like how this can affect the individual contributors, the people running the servers, the IT staff, you and I, the people that we help drive towards these practices, towards these capabilities. You had a great point about how this really is a major risk for us as leaders in the industry and how that can affect people who are paying attention but aren't in those leadership roles. Do you know what I'm saying?
COVID allowed me to do two things. One, it allowed me to reflect. But two, it also allowed me to see, because I have a lot of individuals that are in, you know, Facebook or, you know, whatever, start to have challenges, depression, anxiety, stress, and they were using best practices. They were thought leaders. They were contributors to stuff. They were speakers. They were mentors. They were colleagues. They were ex-staff. And I started to think about the fact we introduced service management.
Mm-hmm.
And we told everybody, we want you to have great services. Okay, that's great. Then a bunch of developers got together for 3 days at a ski lodge, wrote down 16 statements, and the whole world now wants to do this thing that they named Agile that had nothing to do with everything that the whole world is now trying to do, really.
Yeah,
right?
It's kind of left field. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, imagine it's, you know, they met in February 2001, I always get the year wrong. Imagine it's now March. You're a developer. You've heard about it. You walk into your CIO's office and go, hey, these developers got together at a ski lodge in the United States for 3 days, and they created these 16 steps. I think we should adopt and adapt that. What were the words that came out of the CIO's mouth? You need a vacation? Get out of my office? right? Nobody jumped on the 16 statement thing.
Right.
They weren't supposed to. They were never supposed to. They were supposed to go back, adopt and adapt Scrum, which has been around, I know this is going to come to a shock to a lot of people, since 1986. Okay. Kanban, which predates that by 37 years. At least.
Yeah, a long time.
They were supposed to adopt and adapt different ways of using technology to enable organizations to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What people now call human ops.
Yeah, nice.
Okay? Because if you read the statements, it's supposed to protect you as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work. So another group of individuals came along and said, I know, we'll take the developers, Agile, and we'll take the operators, ITSM, DevOps. And we will develop a way that people can operationally use technology in such a way to enable their organization to do stuff. The goal of DevOps is not to release every 25 milliseconds.
Right.
The goal of DevOps is to use technology in such a way that you can develop services and products that your staff can manage and improve based on feedback from staff that's using it and customers that are benefiting or not from it. That's the goal of DevOps, okay? Everything else that has come along is the same thing. All these practices and stuff, there's no difference now. It's a marketing term.
Yeah,
I know that every single supplier out there that I work with is going to kill me, but I'm sorry, guys. It's all marketing terms.
Well, okay? Simone Jo Moore said it on her podcast. That's really all that we're doing is putting words to things, and how you define those words is kind of up to you, you know?
One of the ITIL 1 contributors, okay, said, we created this. Because the original ITIL library, contrary to popular belief, was a whole lot of books.
Yeah.
It was books on all kinds of stuff, right? Okay. We created ITIL, the most boring framework ever, depending on who you talk to. Everyone adopted and adapted it to the way that they wanted to use it. And all they did was do replace all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Replace every time where it says incident, you know, instead we're saying issue.
Yeah. Okay. And look, I've got something new.
Yeah.
It's the next shiny thing.
That's fantastic.
And it's dangerous.
Mm,
But the thing that we did more dangerously, and one of my friends asked me this was, and I hadn't thought about this, because you never, when you're a thought leader, everything that comes out of your mouth
is gospel. Right. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say gospel, but let's just say listenable.
Okay.
Okay. So someone came over to me on a Zoom call and said, you talked to us about value stream mapping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My second favorite topic after business continuity.
Yes.
You made my life hell.
Yeah.
Excuse me? You made my life hell. And he just went on and he just kept babbling. And I went, holy cow. I did do that.
Yeah. Not intentionally, of course.
Not intentionally. Okay. And so I called up another service desk supervisor that I'd worked with in the past. And I said, you know, when we were doing all this other stuff, was that for you? Why didn't you say something then? Because I'm here and you're here.
Mm, yeah. So okay. What was the struggle that these people were encountering? Like what, after you left, what was it?
Matt, I'm going to empower you, okay, to do whatever you want, with your video podcast.
That's dangerous.
Okay. Now, you can have whoever you want to onto your video podcast, as long as they're in IT, as long as they're, you know, da-da-da-da-da. I've got my thoughts here.
Yes.
But you're deep into music and all kinds of stuff. Wow, I can have musicians onto my, I can, you know, see whether or not I can get a move. My neighbor next door does some great gardening tips. I'm going to bring him up. Which has nothing to do with what I just empowered you. Matt, what the hell are you doing? So I used the word empower and never explained it.
Mm.
Okay. David Marquette in his book, Leadership and Language, very clearly says one of the most dangerous words in leadership is the word empower. Because you feel like you've just given them gifts and abilities far beyond those of mortal man. And they want you to not do that. Please do not empower me. Unless, clear guideline. If I do this, do I get to keep my job? Or am I the first person at the door? Because if you don't tell me that, let me tell you, I'm not moving out of this boundary because I don't know where this is.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay?
And I know he empowered me and stuff like that. And there are things I want to do, but the budget keeps squeezing. And oh, he just got rid of 30% of my staff, the bastard. You know, it's
right.
We gave you a new tool. What do you need staff for? So you can't think about all the things that you're doing to people and not have to reflect back on the fact you haven't made life easier. You've mucked it up.
Yeah. I like that metaphor, actually, of giving powers. You can kind of see how in a storyline that would really hurt. How you're doing the right thing, but it's in the wrong way. Or you're setting the bar too high.
So you can see behind me, I'm a big Batman fan. If I swivel my camera around, my room is just bat pictures. And the nice thing about Batman is he has no superpowers.
Bingo.
Okay. The bad thing about Batman is he has
no superpowers. That's
that
awesome.
He is still alive after 83 years of being in existence is amazing because he's been shot, tortured, chemically dosed, thrown into space, beaten up by everybody, right?
Yeah.
But he's still there. And he is the first person to really appreciate the fact that he understands his limits.
Mm.
There comes a point in time where he needs to pick up the phone and go, yo, Supes, you busy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you watch my back?
Yeah, he's got to pair up.
Okay. The problem with workers is they can't call up, unless you're in an incredible organization, your CIO and go, I don't think what we're doing is right.
Mm, yeah, or give me backup or get on this project.
Or give me backup or be more involved in stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed the way I did value stream mapping, and I adopted a model from Karen Martin and Mike Osterling, which basically said value stream mapping is nothing more than a leadership tool.
Yes.
It's not meant for anybody that's not a leader.
Right.
And leaders have to go down
to apply
and
it.
Actually see what the heck is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the ex-CTO of EE, which is a major telecommunications firm here in England, he told me that he spent 70% of his time outside of his office and not in meetings.
Yeah.
He was in EE stores. He was with EE suppliers. He was with the places where EE made stuff, and he was looking to see how IT was helping or not helping. And if he saw a problem, he went back to EE, he wrote it on a board, and he gave it to a team and said, can you all add this to your backlog, please? Just let me know how this is going, because we need to fix this.
Yeah.
Okay? There was no shouting, what did you release out there, you dummies? There was none of that. It was just, guys, can we have a look at this, please?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can we go and fix this? If you can't fix it, let me know and we'll work together to go find somebody who can. Okay.
That's involved.
Right? That's involved. Okay. Sherlock Holmes told Dr. Watson, you see, but you do not observe.
Mm.
Real simple example. You've been living here now for 3 years, Watson. How many steps are there between the front door and our door?
And Watson won't know.
Watson won't know. You see, but you do not observe. Yeah. Leaders see what's on their report.
Mm-hmm. They know the outcomes.
But they do not observe.
How we got there.
Right? So you have a monthly report. You now have 11 opportunities in the year to make it better. Oh, but wait a minute. Agile says I'm supposed to be releasing every 2 weeks. You're supposed to be having at least 24 times a year to make it better.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. So DevOps says you should be releasing something at least every day. So that's 200 days in an average work year that you should be doing something even better. Ah, hold on. I'm ITSM. I'm service management. We're 24/7.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Right? So I can't improve. I'm not improving fast enough. And I have to wait until somebody reads something on a piece of paper. And it goes to committee and then gets approved. And by the time it gets to us, it's out of date.
Yeah, this is a really good, I love that. This is like, what would I call it? Walking the value chain, living the value chain.
Yeah.
And it really ties back to that VUCA world that Rob is always saying, VUCA, VUCA, VUCA. Like that is how you can do it. The CEO or the CIO, whoever, whichever leader is doing this, they'll actually be able to sense and respond because they're part of the work.
And you're starting to see articles from Forbes or Harvard Business Review, Rob, Barclay Ray, other people, okay, me, that are all saying the same thing. You as a leader create a meeting and you walk into the meeting, you announce the intention and you leave. No hippo in the room, right?
Yeah.
Guys, I empower you. I trust you. I hired you. I must have trusted you at some point in time. I'm going to double down and take a risk that you guys are going to come up with something that has chance. If it doesn't, the only thing I ask is that you do it in such a way that we can hit stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If we have to do that, fine. We have to do that. At least we learned something. Okay? But no red cards. My red cards are gone.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah. This safe experiments.
Right? This is learning.
Yeah.
Okay? So one group said, right now we have a great service management thing. We have priority one, all hands on deck. We're great at that. We have priority two. Actually, we don't really know what priority twos are because we're always getting killed. We have priority three. We never work on those. And we have six other priorities. Okay.
Yeah.
What if all we had was priority one?
Chaos. Disorder.
Oh, we don't think so. We think if all we had was priority one, because that's what I went, you guys are dreaming, right? You've got lots of incidents. But if we treated everything as priority one, we'd get to them.
Mm.
Okay? And if we treated everything as priority one, it would force the people that were involved, developers, whatever, to talk to us.
Mm.
So if the retail part of the bank had an issue, priority one, and the human resources part of the bank had an issue, priority one, we could at least go and say, okay, what is the impact of the retail? Well, 10 million customers are out of service. Okay, what is the issue of the HR issue? Well, in 2.5 weeks, if we don't fix this payroll thing, you're not going to get paid.
The whole business closes.
Okay. But I have 2.5 weeks. Here I have 10 million customers that are angry at us, and I know that because I'm looking at Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to put the resources here, and I'm going to have a couple of people working on the HR issue, or at least starting to get it together because, hey, I like to get paid.
Yeah, exactly.
My wife likes me to get paid. My children like me to get paid. My dog likes me to get paid. So we are going to fix this. The challenge becomes, I have 10 million people that are angry at us. Payroll is tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah, now what do you do?
Now what do you do? In normal IT terms, payroll issues are always priority two.
Mm-hmm.
But we never look at the impact, okay? We need the person who's supposed to be helping us make decisions and guarding us, tell us and give us the scope for what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay?
Because he's got to be she has to be the one to walk into the CIO's office and go, you know that paycheck you were expecting tomorrow? And we need to talk.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, there's 10 million people that are mad at us. We really need to talk. And the leaders need to look at that, what you use, value stream, that chain of work, and decide what the heck we're going to do. That's what service management should be bringing to the organization now. If you want to know what's wrong in your organization, you know this, Matt, you've talked about this. If you want to know what's wrong in your organization, where do you go? Service desk. Excuse me? Why do you go to service desk? That's all they do all day long.
Yeah.
They gather information on what's wrong.
Yeah. They know the heartbeat
of the
company.
If you go to the service desk every day and look at their stuff, all of your priorities are right there.
They're laid out for you.
Yeah. Pick one. That's a priority.
It's so true.
And that's what service management should be giving as information back to the officers of the organization to do their tactical stuff to match the VUCA world.
Excellent. Thank you, Daniel. That is such a good perspective. So often we talk about the metrics and dashboards and reports we generate at the service desk, and so often we're just navel-gazing. We look at them ourselves or they're vanity metrics, and we don't do anything with them. Consider this episode your impetus. You should definitely be sharing these up. The CIO and the CEO, they need to know what your tickets are like, because it is. It's information, it's input, it's the beginning of the value chain for your organization.
It needs to be a daily dashboard, not a monthly report.
Exactly.
A monthly report is reflective.
Mm-hmm.
The whole data.
Yep.
Okay. And not only that, it's massage data.
Yeah.
I don't know about your service desk, but my service desk, my sisters, they could make a report look really good.
It's true.
Hey,
it's true.
He doesn't need to know about that. He's not going to do anything about it anyway. Boom! Look, it's green.
Yeah, there is value in safety for sure. So, Daniel, how can people connect with you and learn more?
You can come to me on LinkedIn, but please don't just hit connect. As my profile clearly says, if you don't introduce yourself to me, it is supposed to be LinkedIn, okay? Then I'm not interested. You can also join the ITSMF. I'm going to say UK, but there are chapters all around the world. You can join the ITSMF UK and then, you know, become an active member. Come to our communities of practice, come to our webinars, ask questions, and join as a volunteer role, you know, do all kinds of stuff to help us out.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Daniel. Thanks for joining us on Ticket Volume.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And for our audience, thanks for listening to this episode. We've got a bunch more out there, so make sure to subscribe to receive an alert every time there's a new one. You can submit a specific topic or DM me. Just let me know what you want to hear. You can also comment on Ticket Volume's LinkedIn page. And speaking of that, if you like today's podcast, please leave a review. You know how algorithms love interaction. This podcast is brought to you by Invigate, the all-in-one IT service and asset management system that helps organizations with world-class IT support teams. If you're looking for a solution to build your help desk without the headaches of year-long implementations, you'll love Invigate. In fact, IT teams from NASA, Toyota, and McDonald's use Invigate to manage requests, automate workflows, and centralize inventory data so they can focus on delivering better service. Thanks for hitting play, and I'll see you around the way.